Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I want to welcome everybody this morning to the show. You know, we've had a great weekend. We celebrated Labor Day, celebrated our troops, those people that serve us. And yesterday we started off our new format talking out of Jim talked about, and we all kind of merged in there from the book The Go-Giver. And today Jim's going to be on, and he's going to be talking, and we're going to be sharing some insights from the book 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John C. Maxwell, which I am in my 30-day countdown. I will be meeting John on my regular pilgrimage to Atlanta here, so I'm excited. Jimmy, take it away. I'm excited to hear what you got to share this morning.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you had a safe and fantastically fun weekend over the holiday of Labor Day. I know that we did got an unexpected visit from some family members from out of town, and that was a very enjoyable weekend. As Troy mentioned, we're going to talk here, you know, we're going to start this week, and we're going to use one of the books that I believe is an essential to anyone who's an aspiring leader in any field of endeavor, and that's the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And the first law in this book is the law of the lid, which states leadership ability determines a person's level of effectiveness. And let's talk a little bit about that in terms of what that means to us. First off, the concept of our business and network marketing is we're all looking to attract other people. And the way that we attract other people who are already highly successful is to become the person that we desire to attract into our business. Because one of the philosophies that has long been said, and I tend to agree with, is we don't get those people in our business that we want. We get those people in our business who we are. That's powerful. Because to truly improve upon and reach up into the caliber of people that we want, because one of the things that Mark Layton shared with me recently was the fact that all of us are only one person away from, one leader away from having an explosive event in our business and seeing our business to grow in absolutely unprecedented form. The person that Mark shared with me that was the most influential leader that he discovered in his own business was the reflection staring back at him in the mirror. And I appreciate that. Yeah, that takes a lot of insight from a person to recognize that they themselves are the one that needs to change and needs to grow and learn in order for good things to happen throughout their life and throughout their organization. So, Mark, you know, just another reason why we appreciate you as much as we do, and we're glad to have you as a member of our team. But let's talk about applying the law of lid into our lives and the steps that we can take that are going to help to make that possible and to facilitate it. Now, I'm going to read this right out of the book, the most current version of John C. Maxwell's The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And what they did when they revised this book is they actually took on each chapter, at the end of each chapter, they took and they added a section that's titled Applying the Law to Your Life. And applying the lid, here's what John Maxwell has to say about applying the lid to your life. Number one, list some of your major goals. Try to focus on significant objectives, things that will require a year or longer of your time. List at least 5, but no more than 10 items. Now identify which ones will require the participation and or cooperation of other people. For these activities, your leadership ability will greatly depend on your effectiveness. And before I continue, let's talk a little bit about that for a minute. Because one of the biggest things that's a difference in our industry of network marketing as compared to any other kind of business is that we're in an all-volunteer organization. We don't have appointed positional authority. such as a manager or a rank position or anything like that, that the corporation or the main body can kind of bestow upon us. We're entrusted by those people who willingly follow us, and that's where we're empowered as leaders. So in order to do that, in order to enhance our effectiveness, that's the first place where we have to start. Second, access your leadership ability. Complete the leadership evaluation in Appendix A in the back of this book to get a good idea of your basic leadership ability. And folks, what that really means is if you don't have a copy of this book yet, you probably need to go get yourself a copy of the book. But more importantly, Troy always likes to mention that almost all of Maxwell's great works now come with a workbook. Troy, talk to him about the benefit of the workbooks and how to use those workbooks for a minute.
Well, you know, the little sections in the back of each chapter are great. They stimulate your mind. They get you going. But the workbooks is the next level. That's the nuts and bolts of each chapter to where you can dig in and you start to see really what we would call a metamorphosis, a paradigm shift within yourself. You find your weaknesses. You find your strengths. You find what habits you need to pitch out the door, what habits you need to bring in. And John always says, I mean, this is something I've heard him say almost in every book, I've heard him say in every audio CD, is that success, Jimmy, is in it's within the grasp of every person. But without good leadership, the effectiveness of what they do with that success can be very limited. They may have it one time, they may just almost reach it and never get there because of their own person, that person looking back at them out of the mirror. So those workbooks are priceless, guys. I mean, you can buy the book. The book is going to help you. There's no doubt about that. But it's that workbook that will get you into the nuts and the bolts every day. That will be a 30-minute section of your day where you will read and you will write and you will start to see a difference as time goes on in your own outlook in life. It's awesome, Jimmy.
Well, I think that the idea, anytime you have a tool that will help you to get from your start point to your end destination. I mean, I look at it from the standpoint of how many people in the last couple of years have gone out and bought a GPS to help them travel around. I mean, it's not something that we need. It's a nice-to-have little gadget for the most part, but how much easier does it make life when there's a tool that maps out the shortest distance or the quickest route, or gives you an alternate if there's something that comes up along your way and all of a sudden there's a detour that you have to take and you've got the ability to have a tool that will get chart an alternate course for you to keep your focus on your end destination and show you a way to get there. And that's, folks, ultimately that's what these tools are. That's what the process of self-development and personal development really is tapping into a program that gives you the ability to become a better person. And along the way, it allows you to raise your lid in terms of the leadership. And before I finish the part on applying the lid here, Troy, we probably ought to need to go into a little bit more detail so people can understand what this lid really is. And yeah, the easiest way I can think of is if we were to rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think?
I would say that would be accurate. I think most people, they don't understand the leadership. They don't understand effectiveness, on how that works. But, yeah, scale from 1 to 10, whatever level we are as a leader. You know, I look at myself daily and try to measure my leadership ability. And I, you know, I still sometimes think I'm only a 6 or a 5. I mean, it just depends on the day. But whatever level of leadership you're at from 1 to 10, you're going to attract leaders at your level or below 99.9% of the time. You're not going to attract leaders better than you. It kind of goes back, Jimmy, to the law of attraction, because you can't attract people to yourself if you're not at that level yet.
You're absolutely right, and it goes hand in hand with one of the things that John talks about in this book from the standpoint that stronger leaders very, very rarely will follow a weaker leader. And if they do, they won't follow them for very long because they can't learn something from that person. And if they can learn something from them, they'll absorb it very quickly and they'll move on, and then they're not challenged. So they're looking for a way to remain challenged. And that's why the law of the lid is so important, because in order for us to move up through our journey of success, we have to constantly be striving to raise our own lid to make ourselves more effective, both as a communicator, as a person in general. Because ultimately, it all comes back to the basic philosophy that no one knows how much you, or no one cares, rather, how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's only through understanding people and expressing true leadership abilities that you can convince people subliminally that you care. And that's one of the most important things in our industry, is the ability to find people's why. And you can only find their why if they believe that you care.
All right.
Go ahead. You got something to add on that?
You hit that dead on. And one of the things, Jimmy, that I want people to understand, when they read the book, I mean, John doesn't do the 99.9% in this book, and I did. And I want people to understand why real quick before you move on. There's always one type of leader that doesn't care about being out front. And he talks real big about this in Leadership 360. But when you're the second player, when you're that behind-the-scenes leader, your whole goal is not to attract leaders at your level. Your whole focus is to make that leader, to create, develop, whatever word you want to use there, the leader that you're with, to make them a better leader. And that was the position I played at ProStep. My goal there was never to be number one. It was to make that owner and that leader be the best leader that he could be. And in 4 years, we watched that happen until he hit a plateau, Jimmy. And sometimes people have to understand, you can do everything that you can do as a second string player, as that leader behind the scenes. But once you realize that the leader that you're supporting has hit a plateau and refuses to grow, that's when you'll find that one-tenth of 1% who will say, okay, now I need to start looking for another leader who I can help to promote, who I can help to grow, who I can help to lead. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, is so people understand there is a secret type of role that a leader will play. And when they get John's book, 360 Leader, they'll find out it doesn't matter what position you have, you'll find out what that leader's like.
And that's one of the books that we're going to be exploring here in coming weeks as well, folks. You know, I'm really excited about the format that we're going to be starting here and introducing more and more new leaders into this show and have them playing a part of the show. I got a message from one of our leaders the other day that said, thank you for changing the format, because now our new show and our new format is about empowering people instead of just standing on the pulpit of power and preaching.
Yeah.
And that it struck me at the very heart, because it made me realize that there are other people that are seeing the fact that egos can sometimes be very detrimental to the growth of a team.
Agreed.
All right. Next, number three on applying the law of the lid to your life. Ask others to rate your leadership. Talk to your boss, your spouse, two colleagues at your level, and three people you lead about your leadership ability. Ask each of them to rate you on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, in each of the following areas: people skills, planning and strategic thinking, vision, results. Lastly, average the scores and compare them to your own assessment. Based on these assessments, is your leadership skill better or worse than you expected? If there's a gap between your assessment and that of others, what do you do? What do you think is the cause? How willing are you to grow in the area of leadership? Now, folks, that's the most important part of this entire process in my mind, because ultimately what we're doing in encompassing that is we are using the age-old, time-tested philosophy that another great mentor of ours talks about, and that's Jeff Olson in his book, The Slight Edge. And the process thereby is plan, do, review, and repeat. Because if we're not constantly asking others for feedback about our decisions, are we really leading, or are we merely functioning as a dictator? Are we preaching philosophy, or are we encouraging participation? And we've got three very outspoken leaders with us, actually four, counting Troy. I'm not counting myself in this mix. But we've got Mark Layton with us this morning. We've got Johnny Hansis with us this morning. And we've also got Matt Jamieson with us. So we've got people from a variety of different places around the country this morning. And I know Matt was busy doing some other things this morning, and he missed out on the first half of the show here with us. But I want each of you in turn, and I'm going to turn first to our youngest, which is John Hansis, and I'm going to ask John to give us a few minutes on your interpretation of the importance of the law of the lid. Johnny, welcome to the show this morning. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you guys. How's everybody so far?
Fantastic, man.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, everything also, I'm going to go ahead and start off, has to do with your attitude, because your attitude is going to be strictly a reflection of what you're thinking and what you've been doing for yourself when it comes to improvement. And it's funny how that attitude is going to transfer over to every single other person who's a part of your team, who's even a part of your upline, is going to translate into their energy and what level they're going to bring to everything for everybody's success. So, I mean, I'm a firm believer you get what you think. You know, therefore thoughts become things. So if you start off from the beginning of your day and you don't really feel up for anything, and you don't feel like anything's going to happen for you, and or you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed, let's say, you feel like on every level you're being that things aren't just going to work out for you, that's chances are what's going to happen. So the hardest thing is when you wake up in the morning, not to bombard yourself with more negativity. Our news today always talks about how the economy is just doing horrible. So right then and there, even if you don't believe it yourself, you're still kind of surrounding yourself with it. So subliminally, you're making an impression on what you're going to think and what you're going to do. Next, try to find something that's going to make you even feel good on a physical level, I don't know, if you're into running, go for a run. If you're into walking, go for a walk, you know. Or at the very least is like how I love how you keep talking about it, Jim. Pick up a book, you know, especially Leadership 360 by John Maxwell, and ingest some of that good positive stuff inside and work your physical brain. You work your physical brain, it's going to translate into new physical features that are going to come out. It's going to manifest beautiful things that happen in your life. So all of these is the basis of attitude. And I know attitude's not the most important, or excuse me, let me rephrase that. Attitude is not the only thing, but it's a really good basis of what you're going to bring about in anything else in your life. I mean, I know anybody here on this show can attest for, if you have a bad attitude, guess what you're going to bring? You're going to bring bad things around you. I don't know if anybody wants to add it to that. What do you think, Troy?
I agree. If your attitude sucks, then don't expect nice, positive people to come around. You're just going to attract dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies.
Well, let me interject one other thing that you mentioned in there, John, and that's that thoughts become things. And that's you left out a step in there, my young friend, and that's thoughts become actions, and actions become things.
That's it. Yeah, that's exactly it. Thank you so much. The actions are generated from the thoughts and feelings of your attitude, at least from what I can understand in my standpoint when it comes to everyday things. I mean, it's so funny. From the very beginning, when you wake up every day, you have no choice but to have a great attitude about life. You know, everybody's brought up with this great attitude. They just don't see it. I don't think anybody's brought to attention to it because of, you know, every once in a while, I don't know if you guys have done this. I know I can fault myself for taking life for granted. Every day you're laying in your bed. You wake up, you know, you kind of stretch, and you look around, you look at, you know, the bed sheets, they're all over the place, you know, but there's one thing you're doing without even thinking about it. You know, you're sitting there breathing, your chest opens up and it expands, you take in that air, you know, and you can't even see the air, you just know it's there. So your attitude towards life is that, hey, you know what, the air is going to be there, I have faith that it's going to be there, so therefore I'm going to keep living. So there's a pretty good attitude about it. Even the worst possible situation that anybody can be in, as long as you're living and breathing, you're really having a good attitude. And I kind of look at it that way. I kind of try to generate all these perceptions and a philosophy that lets me stay in a positive, good attitude every day as much as I can. So that's my take on everything. What about you guys?
Awesome, Johnny. The idea that you're implying, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, is that your attitude ultimately is the single most important thing at raising the law of the lid for each of us as individuals. All right, let's move on to the, I'm going to take this from youngest to oldest. So, Matt, are you with us this morning, buddy?
I'm here.
How you doing, man? Did you have a good holiday weekend?
I did, yes, sir. And yourself?
Absolutely fantastic. What, in your experience in our industry, if a person wants to raise their level, their lid, as it relates to leadership, what are some of the things that they can personally do and implement on a daily basis to help raise their effectiveness and their lid as a leader?
Well, number one, they need to be on the show every day, Jimmy. Everything we provide, everything you and Troy put together here and bringing on leaders in the new format of the show is absolutely key. And, you know, that's the key, is to surround yourself with people, you know, of like-minded interest. And that's one of the things I've always done is, you know, there's an old adage that says, find somebody that has what you want, do what they did to get what they got. And so you need to find somebody with a positive attitude that's moving forward, that's always looking for the answer as opposed to why it won't work, or looking to find a way as to why it will work as opposed to why it won't work. And you know, I've spent a lot of time, a lot of books, a lot of audios, a lot of seminars. I mean, you need to plug in and educate yourself, and the personal development is 100% key in everything you're doing in this industry.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And that's, quite honestly, it's one of the things and one of the reasons why we actually, this show was a brainchild of Troy's, and I have to give Troy all the credit for deciding to put this show together with Radio for Your Mind, because this is yet another example of how he likes to be the one behind the scenes kind of pushing things in the right direction. So this was, in fact, a great idea, Troy. Thank you. All right, let's move on to the eldest of our statesmen, and that would be Mr. Layton from up in New York. Mark, are you with us?
I am, guys, and thanks for letting me say my piece here. First, I'd like to just comment on what John said. And, you know, the mind, the subconscious mind, doesn't know if something is actually, the body reacts to the mind, and it doesn't know if it's a real stimulus or an auto-suggestion. So you really have to feed your mind the good stuff. You know, if you're on this call today and you're coming from another profession, chances are you had to go to school to learn to do what you do. And if you didn't go to school, you learned it on the job. So how do you think you can step into this profession and not go to school? School is the things we tell you about, the food for your mind, your attitude. I was reading, you know, John Maxwell said in the preface of one of his books, he was taken aback by a CEO who said to him that, you know, once he read the book, he started to apply it module by module, not to himself, but to watch his company every day and see who was doing the true, you know, leadership and who wasn't and what he could do to correct it. And John was talking about, you know, every day is a new day and a new chance. Sometimes I come to the end of the day and I self-assess and I say I could have done more. And then I go to bed and I wake up in the morning and I say, brand new day, chance to do better, to get it more right than wrong today. So I'm going to take Maxwell's suggestion, go through the book, not like a novel, but a learning experience, one chapter at a time, and apply it, and you know, for a couple of days, and before I go on to the next chapter, so that I've, you know, absorbed it all, and see where I am at the end of the book.
You know, what all of you guys just said has brought up an interesting thought, and I think it's something that we need to reiterate, because I know that every single one of us on this call right now that I know of as leaders in this industry have heard the question I'm about to state time and time again, and that is, how do I do this? You know, I'm brand new at this. You know, is there a cookie cutter? Is there some special thing that I can do to this? Because to the brand new person who's just coming in, it can be very overwhelming. And it reminds me of the age-old adage, how do you eat an elephant? Johnny, how do you eat an elephant?
One at a time, boss.
Thought I lost you there for a second, man. Now, you're absolutely right. One bite at a time. You know, the way you tackle any objective that appears to be overwhelming is one step at a time, one bite at a time. Reminds me of one of the scenes from the movie The Longest Day, I think it was, or maybe not, it might have been Patton, where General George S. Patton was told something was impossible, and he looked at the person who told him that, and he says, impossible? He says, you know, if you'd have told me it was going to be extremely difficult, I'd have probably said, let's bypass it, let's go somewhere else. But the idea that you're telling me that it's impossible, that just tells me we're going to find a way to do it. That's the kind of attitude that I think is absolutely critical. It's absolutely critical that we have that kind of dedication and devotion to moving forward with this. Tomorrow morning, we're going to go into detail, and we're going to digest this book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, literally, just like Mark was just saying, one chapter at a time. And in the process of doing this, on a daily basis, we're going to have insight, not just from me, but from Troy, from Mark, from Matt, from John, and from other leaders that are going to be joining this call and joining this team on an ongoing basis until we get through this book. And folks, this is the foundation, in my opinion. You know, we talked yesterday about the book, The Go-Giver, and I believe the five laws of stratospheric success and The Go-Giver are the basis for anything in life that we truly want to accept. But then the next step is the leadership. Troy, take it away, my friend.
You know, you hit that, and I want folks to realize something here. We talked about actions. We talked about attitude, all those cool things. But here's the bottom line from today's training, today's chapter on the lid. You have to work at and have perfect practice at what, at least that old myth of practice makes perfect is wrong. It's perfect practice will make perfect. Because if you're out there following the wrong person, if you're out there thinking you can do it on your own, if you're out there, you know, focused on being the Lone Ranger, you will never be able to raise your effectiveness as a leader. When I listen to Johnny, when I listen to Matt, when I listen to Mark, when I listen to Jim, the one thing that all those guys have in common at their different ages is that they had somebody who they were willing to listen to, somebody that would critique them, somebody who was a coach that said, you're doing that wrong, let's tweak this a little bit. And today, they are experts at each of their fields, and now they're passing that on to other people. folks, listen, you have to be here tomorrow. We have made this format a format to where all of us are learning, all of us are growing. I'm taking notes like I've never taken notes before because this is all fresh. It's coming from different perspectives. So we will see you tomorrow morning. Radio for your mind, right here, 9 a.m. Have a fantastic day.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.